Welcome to another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
We're going to be in Matthew, the ninth chapter tonight, as we are holding on to this thought of we're doing well, but are we doing well? We're accomplishing a lot, but how are we feeling about it? We're actually getting down the road. Things are moving forward, and God's doing more behind the scenes than you may realize. God is always setting us up for a greater success for His kingdom cause. God is always, speaking to people behind the scenes. He is with our life in His hands. He is in charge. You know, He knows what He's doing. Sometimes we feel like we're flying blindly in the clouds, but He's got His radar firmly fixed on us, and He'll certainly tell us if we need to adjust our course, and sometimes we must. But this is a time in Matthew, the ninth chapter. This is a time in Jesus' life where his ministry was growing. You know, he's about a year and a half so into his public ministry. And he's getting to be very well known, and his fame has spread everywhere, and he's been healing a lot of people. And you know, he's recently in Capernaum. There was a little woman that had the issue of blood, and she was healed. And you know, Jairus's daughter was raised from the dead, and his fame is spreading all about. And it can be difficult for him to go into larger towns and larger cities because it kind of inhibited his ministry. And Jesus, you know, was concerned about a few things, just because he was God incarnate trying to explain heaven to us, trying to explain, the Bible tells us that Jesus was trying to do his best to give us a picture of the things he had seen, He came from heaven. You know, we've been studying on Monday together in the book of John at noon, and this week in the book of John we went through the fact that Jesus came from heaven and we are of the earth, and he was from heaven, and he was doing his best to explain to us what he saw, how he saw things, and we are stuck many times in how we see things. He sees from a different vantage point. He sees from an eternal perspective. He sees the finished product. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees the questions answered. We only at times see the questions. And so when we get down to verse 35 in Matthew chapter 9, we pick up here in the New King James Version. And Matthew writes to us, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages." This was his ministry. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, that's a pretty full day for Jesus, okay? He's going about the cities and the villages in the Galilee. He's preaching, teaching, and healing. He's preaching in their synagogues. He's healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes," basically he saw more people than he was going to be able to get to. He saw more people than he was going to be able to personally talk to, personally spend time with, personally touch, personally feed. You know, I mean, 15,000 people or so showed up on a mountainside hungry, and Jesus, you know, had the disciples to seat them, and then Jesus organized a way so that every person could eat all that they wanted, and they could also harvest the leftovers for the little boy who sowed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who got to take 12 baskets full. Those belong to him, by the way. Okay? Those belong to him. A lot of people, well, it was one basket for each disciple. Disciples don't. Jesus wouldn't let his disciples steal some little boy's harvest. Who gave? It was the little boy that gave the fish and loaves. Yeah, that was his. That was his 12 baskets. You know. So here Jesus is teaching, preaching, and healing, but he saw the multitudes. He saw so many people. And when he saw them, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. Hey, in your mind, can you just say with me, weary, in your mind, weary. What does weary mean? They were weary and they were scattered. Some of us get so weary, we get scattered. Scattered brain, anyway. Yeah. Scattered thoughts, scattered in our day. Sometimes we don't know which thing to do first. And we probably go to bed with seven things left undone. You know? Jesus saw the multitude. Now the multitudes were following Jesus. They had been taught. They had been preached to about the kingdom. He was telling about things he had seen. And he had healed every sickness and every disease among the people. He had fed their bellies. He had blessed them. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. And they're following him around, and yet they are weary. He saw the multitudes, and he had compassion. Jesus has compassion on us when we are weary, when we're following him, whenever we're depending on him, whenever we're excited about him, when we're worshiping him. You know, when we're going through the motions of doing everything that we should do like we should do it, and they were. There's no indication that they were not doing everything that they were destined to do in their moment. You know, they were making him, you know, a Messiah in their minds, which he was. But that's what they were doing. They were following him. You know, they were worshiping him. But he saw that they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. What does it mean? Remember, this is a day before the Holy Spirit was given to everyone. So without the Holy Spirit in their life, they had no spiritual leadership. They had nothing on the inside of them guiding them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like good people, wonderful people. They were what they should be, but they had no direction in life. No one to guide them. No one to lead them to the still waters. No one to lead them to the green grass. No one to lead them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, he was there. And it wasn't that they didn't have a God. It wasn't that they didn't have a Jesus. It's that they did not recognize any or have any real personal direction and leadership in life. They were just, you know, over the hills and over the dales, following, you know, chasing the next Jesus moment. Oh, am I? Are y'all following me, or am I just? It's like, you know, they were good people, wonderful people, people that Jesus loved, but they were without some visible direction in their life. A shepherd, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, they were without some leadership. They were without someone to stroke them and pet them. They were without something in life that gave them comfort, that gave them peace. You know, restores my soul. You know, those elements of a shepherd, which Jesus is the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. But they were without real contact. They were without personal contact. He had real compassion on them because they needed something that he realized that they didn't have right now. Of course, they would later have, because, you know, Jesus said, it's more necessary for you, more expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, then there'll just be one of me here, you know. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter. I am with you, but I shall be in you, you know. And you know, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And I will, you know, you can live and move and, you know, have your being in me and me in you. You will be my tabernacle, my temple. You know, it's so necessary that each one of us has this that Jesus was wanting them to have. He said, you know, well, Matthew said that he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Wow. Listen, there's a whole lot of people out here, he said. There's so many people out here. The harvest, oh my goodness. He's telling his disciples, look how many people are willing. Look how many people would follow. Look how many people would allow me to touch them. Look how many people would allow me to minister to them. I mean, I can't get to them all right now. One day I can. But look at how many people are willing. And I've got such compassion on the multitudes because they're like sheep having no shepherd. They're weary. They're scattered. They're tired. They're willing. But you know, like the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 10th chapter, how in the world shall they even know unless somebody tell them? And that's what he's going to get to here. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's only 12 of us, guys. You know, 13 including Jesus. And one of us is a thief. Isn't that interesting? Verse 38. Therefore, Jesus said, because of this, because of the fact that by myself I can't do it all. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest. There are four things here in verse 38 that I want to highlight. And I want to encourage us to approach these four things with a little, I'm going to say different attitude. Attitude is not correct. But, and the reason I say different is not because I want to say that, you know, you're not doing it right. But I don't imagine that God would have laid this on my heart to share if it was not needed. So let me walk us through it. Number one, he said, pray. He asked his disciples, he asked those that were with him, he asked those that knew him, those that were close to him, those that he gave the ministry to, those that he empowered, those that he breathed on and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Later on in chapter 10, he's going to send them out. You know, he's going to send them in verse 5, and he's going to tell them, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. He's going to send them out to do the very things that he needs doing later on. Okay? But right now, he is just telling them the need. And the first thing he said to them is he said, pray. Number one is pray. He wants his disciples brought into our world today. He wants us to pray. Pray what? Pray over the need of there's so many people on the earth that are weary, that would follow, that would allow him to touch you, that want him to touch you, that are coming to, you know, wanting to be healed, need to be preached to, taught, you know, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. And so many of them that I can't get to all of them. And they're weary and they're tired and they're scattered and they have no direction and they have no shepherd. They have no voice in their life. They have no leadership. Would you pray? Pray. Well, I think we all are praying. But let me ask you, are you praying because you're supposed to? Are you praying because you have to? Are you praying because you'll feel guilty if you don't, or you think that something bad will happen if you don't say somebody's name in prayer? And I can remember in 1981, I was living in Sims, Texas, and I had a prayer list that I had written down on legal paper. And it kept getting longer and longer and longer and longer. And, you know, every day I was committed to it as though it were a ball and chain hung around my neck. You ever been there? Yeah, I'm guilt-driven. And I had to pray for everything on the list. And if I didn't pray for certain people, if I didn't pray for those people, you know, the devil might get them. And it'd be my fault. That's what I felt like. It'd be my fault if I, come on now. If any of you have ever felt as though that you were the one that was keeping everybody else from you know, having trouble, or from the devil, you know, breaking their car, or you're, you know, anything else. That's how I felt. I got into this prison of prayer. I don't know how else to say it. I'm sorry. No doubt God was hearing my prayer and it made a difference, but it wasn't what God intended for me. It wasn't that God didn't want me praying for all these people. He did. But He didn't want me doing it with drudgery. Doing it with prayer time again. Oh, this is going to take 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, oh, prayer time again. Oh, God. You know, I remember I went to visit a preacher. His name is Jim Boswell. He lived in Modesto, California. And I went out to Modesto, and me and another preacher friend of mine from Dallas, to visit this man who was a very wise and very seasoned minister, and we just needed someone to speak into our lives, and we knew that he would. And stayed at house. Do you know? I had a commitment to get up at 5:30 and pray every morning, and so and pray over this long list that I had, and so I took it with me, and all of a sudden, you know, we fellowshiped till about midnight, and when I was laying in bed, I thought, oh, 5:30, is that 5:30 Sims, Texas time, or 5:30 California time? I don't know. I better get up at 3:30 so that I don't break the law. Prayer had become a law to me. You know, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Prayer was made for man, not man for prayer. I'm a prayer. I still pray every morning. And I still call a whole lot of those names and added names to it now, every morning. But I do it with a different feeling now. Because I think what Jesus was wanting was not saying, pray. You know, here's a chain. Put it around your neck. Pray. If you don't pray, you know, bad things are going to happen to people. I think somewhere we need to make sure that our prayer is something that brings joy and excitement and happiness to us. And I think it should be a shift. The second thing that he said is pray that the Lord of the harvest would send. We need to pray, but we also need to send. And if we're going to send, then we have sent. We are a sending church. We have sent. We have sent people. We have sent resources. We have sent prayers. We have sent help. You know, we are sending the Word of God around the world. But sending is a part of our responsibility. You know, I prayed that the Lord would send. Well, how do you think the Lord's going to send? He's going to send through you. I mean, the Lord is not just going to, you know, He doesn't go flick, flick, flick. He actually, you know, it takes resources to send. Are y'all with me? You know, the Bible says give and it'll be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Do y'all know the rest of that verse? Shall men give into your bosom? Oh, yeah. It takes men. Yeah. When Jesus wanted to help all those poor people and around Jericho, what did he look for? He looked for a rich man. The young rich ruler was the first one. He said no, so he went and found Zacchaeus in a tree. Said the very same thing to Zacchaeus, evidently, because Zacchaeus came down and did what the rich man wouldn't do and gave. Giving is so much a part. Sending is so much a part. Without giving, without participating, without resources, you know, the church, Jesus, God, is unable to send. Do you know, even when Elijah was being protected by God from King Ahab, God put him by a brook and had ravens bring him. But when the brook dried up, God sent him to a widow in Zarephath and commanded her to sustain him. God blessed him through natural resources to accomplish spiritual things. God increased the natural to meet the supernatural need. It's always through something. So here's what Jesus told his disciples. Here's what he's saying to us today. Pray that the Lord would send, but if the Lord is going to send, he's going to send through someone. Oh Lord, here I am, send me. You know, I won't trick you, but I will tell you that God wants to know that he can trust you with the next $1 million he's going to give you. And I know that you would say, if I can pray and ask God and he will give you $1 million, will you give him 10%? You'll go, yes, okay. Well, I will pray. I do pray. I ask God to do that. I constantly ask God to make you millionaires. Okay? I do. I pray. And I believe that he will. And if he gives you $1 million, I know that you will give him, you know, tithes and offerings, right? Sure you will. Well, you know, but first there will be a test. It'll probably come about $100 at a time. Because God knows, and he won't change his mind, that what you do with a little, we talked about this Sunday, what you do with a little is what you will do with more. God knows. Yeah. And so that's reality. And there will be tests. Every time you hear the word of God, you leave here on your way to a test. That's what Jesus said. That you hear the word and immediately the devil comes trying to rob the word and steal the word from your heart so that it does not become fruitful. And then the way he tests you the most is the deceitfulness of riches, so that when, you know, trials, tribulations, testing comes, these things, then you know, if you don't have some root, if you don't use the dry times to let your roots go down deep, then, you know, you'll dry up or be offended and you'll produce no fruit. So pray, he said, that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. You know, it's going to take some work. But do you know, labor without love it's a hard thing to do. God bless all of you that don't enjoy your work. If you do not enjoy your work, may God help you, bless you. May he revisit you. May he lift you up, because you are probably where God wants you. You just may not be like he wants you there. You're doing well, but are you doing well? You know, you are most likely more in the middle of God's will than you would ever give yourself credit for. It is hard to throw yourself out of the will of God. But you may not be happy. You may not be filled with joy. You may not have peace. You may have lost that connection that you are in the middle of the will of God and blessed and being given opportunities. Oh my goodness, what a joy it is to get up in the morning and get to go and do what I get to go and do. And most likely you're involved in something that I know most all of you are involved in something that is blessing someone else, something that's helping someone else, something that's making a difference. Or else you are using your job to get resources with which you can make a difference for God. Oh my goodness, we need to enjoy that. Don't let the devil rob your joy. You know? One preacher said back in about 1982, I was listening to him in the Tarrant County Convention Center, and he said this: if the devil can't rob your joy, he can't keep your stuff. He actually said goods. If the devil can't rob your joy, he can't keep your goods. You know? So pray. Send. Labor. And don't forget to harvest. Harvest. You know, a car salesman is not a good car salesman because he knows everything about the product. He's a good car salesman because he can close the deal. You know? Let's realize we're here to close the deal on some deals. We're here actually to harvest, not just to plant seed. But we're here to harvest. God expects to harvest, that we would be harvesting, that what we're doing would actually be making a difference, that we'd be involved in something that is productive and that is producing, that you're putting your hand to a fruitful vine. Pray. Send. Labor. And harvest. And do it with joy. Do it with joy. Just decide. Sometimes it's just a decision to shake off that snake into the fire and to shake off that sadness and that worry and that fear and that frustration and that aggravation, and just to say, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, listen, he restores me. He makes a table for me. Goodness and mercy follow me. He prepares. God is going to take care of me. You know, I can't fear what man will do to me. If God be for me, who can be against me? So that the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. The joy becomes the strength of our prayer. That we're ready to go out and meet the multitudes. That the joy of the Lord in sending, that we are cheerful givers. So that the joy of the Lord is our strength in giving and in sending. You know how to give. You know, it's your responsibility. The joy of the Lord is the strength of our life. In our prayers, in our sending, in our labor. You know. What you do, the Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. You know, everything you do, Colossians 3, everything you do, or maybe it's Colossians 1:16, you'll have to bet that. Everything you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving glory to God and the Father by Him. So all you do, do it in the name of Jesus. If you can't do it in the name of Jesus, okay, either don't do it or go back to prayer and get you some joy and some strength so that you can labor like you can go to work like you're going to work for Jesus. Go to work for Jesus. Go to work for Him. Okay? Put a smile on your face. Put some joy in your heart. You know? And don't forget, the harvest is important. Close the deal. Somewhere in your witnessing, you're going to need to pop the question and say, let's pray now. You know, people can go to hell knowing a lot about Jesus. They need to receive Him. We need to close the deal. We need to actually, you know, harvest. We need to have a harvest mentality because the harvest is plentiful. It's just the laborers that are few. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send, that He would direct, that He would send, that He would guide, that He would use us as laborers. Don't just pray, oh God, send somebody else. Here I am, Lord, send me. You know, I can do it, Lord. Here I am, Lord. We can do this into the harvest. There's only one reason that God wants to send anybody into the harvest, and that is to harvest. Bringing our sheaves unto the Lord, bringing our harvest. to the Lord. Well, I hope you got something out of tonight. I know you're doing well because we're doing, listen, as a church, we're doing well. But are you doing well? Are you in love with what you're doing? Let me pray for us. Let me pray that the Lord just restores and returns joy as your strength. Joy for the prayer that you're praying, knowing that God is hearing and God's going to do something about it. God answers prayers. He does. You know, we should be so happy that He's going to answer our prayer. And so excited and full of faith that once we pray, we get up and go out and expect to see it. Amen. Excited to participate with Him in sending the gospel around the world. Yeah, do that tonight. You know how we're not going to have time. I didn't save time to receive an offering, so you know how to do it. Get joy and send it. And if you don't want to give it, don't. You're going to need it. God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? And don't give what you don't have. You're not going to impress God by giving what you don't have. Okay? It's accepted of God according to that which a man has, not what he doesn't have. Okay? You can't impress God by praying longer prayers or by giving more money or by working harder. Let's do what we do with joy. Receive this prayer in the name of Jesus. It's from an earnest heart. It's an effectual, fervent prayer, and it will prevail in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak over the lives, Lord, of the congregation, Lord, on campus, online, and all those, Lord, who are listening right now, wherever they are. God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would restore joy, Lord, for the things that You've called us to do. God, You have asked us to pray for the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into the harvest, Lord. And God, that's what we're doing, Lord. Help us, God, to do these things with joy. Lord, give people, Lord, a peace and a joy. Restore, Lord. Let that joy be their strength, Lord. Joy for their work. Joy for their labor, God. Speak to them, God. If they need to change their course, Lord, just speak in the name of Jesus. Speak to them, Lord, in their nighttime, Lord. Lord, settle it in their heart, God. Let confirmation come, Lord, from places, Lord, that they trust, God. Let Your word hit them like gold, Lord, not like tin in their ear, Lord. Let them not be moved by fear, Lord, or by weariness, God. Lord, there's so many people ready to follow, Lord. But God, many are weary, Lord. Many, Father, are without that voice, that guide in their life, that leadership, God. I pray, Lord, for the voice of the Holy Spirit to come upon each one, Lord. And God, to give direction and wisdom, God. Lord, to give partners, God. Later on, Jesus sent them out. But, you know, he sends them out two by two. You know, Luke, the 10th chapter, is a parallel to this in Luke 10, verse 2. You know, Jesus sent out the 70. He sends them out two by two. You know, you may need a partner, some encourager in life. You may need someone to stand with you. Two are better than one. God, give us partners, God. Lord, give us those, Lord, that we can walk with, Lord, and be strong with, Lord, and can encourage us, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray blessings. I ask God to release blessings from heaven. Increase, Lord. God, just bless, Lord, so we can send, Lord. Help us to work with joy, God, and give us a harvest, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. Amen. Amen, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another dynamic message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to all of our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.